Isn't this a sports show?
Back to sports.
Thank you. Every caller.
Almost entirely.
Like, he is a bipartisan bleep talker. That's what I want to be when I grow up. I want to be known as a bipartisan bleep talker.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I gain energy by talking. I'm a plant in that way. My photosynthesis isn't with sunlight, it's with attention. I am bacterial.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
You know they're probably not going to talk about on ESPN? Too many spider boys.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
People are about to destroy you on Twitter.
I know, I'm ready for it. Oh, but if you want to destroy me on Twitter, it's at JB Briscoe. Follow me, then destroy me.
On ESPN Kansas City.
I know what you're thinking. Even if you're just listening to the podcast or listening live, I know what you're thinking. Even if you can't see, you can hear it. Yes, I am wearing a pink jacket today. I'm guessing that you heard in the pause before the show even actually started. Oh, and something sounds different here. Is there a new fan in the studio? Is the air conditioner turned up the entire way? The answer is yes. But that's just the air conditioner sound. The sound that you're hearing now is me in a pink jacket. I have some very like Bono-esque pink glasses that I did not wear with this jacket today. Because I didn't want to get beat up in the hallway by Todd Lebo. Actually, I talked to Lebo before the show. He didn't say anything about my pink jacket. I was a little disappointed.
Everybody knows Lebo's colorblind.
I don't think that's true. It would be kind of a fun little Easter egg.
I'm starting that rumor now.
Okay, that's
Todd
good.
Lebo is colorblind.
All right, fine. Let's put it out there.
Rumblings.
I'm hearing rumblings right now. Yes, that Todd Lebo is colorblind. Now I had this jacket and it was like tan, and then I bleached it white, and I was like, I don't really want to wear a white jacket. You know what I want to do? I want to wear a pink. I want a pink jacket. So I went to Walmart and I got some dye, and I dyed it yesterday, and I washed it up, and it turned into this nice little pale pink. And I'm pretty happy with it. There is one problem. Whenever you dye stuff that's been worn before, if you have any, like, sweat at all, it ends up with these, like, gross little patterns. So I have, like, this, like, say, like, this pit stain kind of thing happening here. I'm going to try to do some work on that and see if I can fix that up a little bit. Get that looking less like a tie-dye area around the pits. But I'm pretty happy with how this jacket turned out. And I'm wearing it today. I figured that you could tell, even if you weren't watching on Facebook. I figured you could tell just by listening. It's like, oh, there's a little extra pep in Josh's step today. What is it? Why is he so peppy? Why are his steps so pepped? Pink jacket.
Pepto-Bismol jacket?
Damn it! I was thinking it's like the album cover from the Hotline Bling single, whenever it came out. Heavily inspired by that. I don't know. Like, millennial pink is a thing now, which I didn't. Google it. Millennial pink is a thing. It's a little bit. This ended up being a little spicier, a little more saturated than kind of the traditional, which you might call millennial pink. But I enjoy it. It's not like neon though. I'm not about that. I'm about a nice like pale pink. Okay, so really quick, let's go ahead and make the seamless transition to the Kareem Hunt story that broke like 10 minutes ago. Sorry for how awkward this is going to be. We're not going to spend much time here because we don't have much info here yet, although the story in Cleveland.com seems very well reported. Headline says, woman says Kansas City Chiefs player Kareem Hunt, quote, shoved and pushed her in downtown Cleveland, police say. Headline, very not good. I want to hop over really quick to the Pro Football Talk article of this. Where it has kind of a shortened up summary, but I've tweeted out the original article at JB Briscoe, and Seth Kaiser, who is is an attorney still, I guess, yeah, has tweeted about it a little bit, just very briefly, so that you can do full reading there. But I thought there were a couple interesting things from a few paragraphs here on the Pro Football Talk summary of the Cleveland.com article. Here's the Pro Football Talk, a few interesting paragraphs Quote, the Cleveland Plain Dealer reports that the 19-year-old woman, Abigail Ottinger, told police that Hunt pushed and shoved her around 3:45 a.m. Saturday outside his apartment. Hunt grew up in the Cleveland area. Another woman who was with the same group of people accused Ottinger of assaulting her, according to the report, and there are police reports listing both Hunt and Ottinger as suspects. According to the report, Hunt was with a group of several people visiting multiple Cleveland bars, and they all came back to Hunt's house, but Hunt's friend says Hunt asked Ottinger and another woman to leave when he found out they were too young to legally drink. The two women left the apartment but stayed in the hallway outside. Ottinger says Hunt went outside and shoved her, while another woman says Ottinger hit her in the face when she told Ottinger to leave. The prosecutors did not file charges against anyone. And again, just to get, you know, someone more experienced on this than me, Seth Kaiser tweeted, I hated this kind of report as a prosecutor. Two sides, each accusing the other of bad behavior, both with reason to lie. Be interesting to see how it plays out. It's about all we got right now. I'm not going to break down the tape here because they have one pretty well-reported report, but it's a report and we don't have enough details to go, oh, she's playing it up, or oh, he's a terrible person, or he's completely innocent, and she can't do any of that. Just can't. The phrase that Hunt and his friends tried to get the girls to leave whenever they found out that they were too young to drink legally seems like that plays in Hunt's favor. That's a pretty solid thing to try to do. If you're planning on drinking and you have some 19-year-olds that show up at your party, you try to get them to leave. That as its own isolated incident goes like, hey, good job. Don't shove them. We'll have to find out the details as we go, but I wanted to make you aware of the story that exists, and we'll find out more as time goes on. I'm sure my instinct is to say it doesn't sound that bad. That is my instinct, comparing it to, like, Tyreek Hill. This seems rather small in comparison to that, but we don't know that this is the full story, and I very much hesitate to proclaim that any situation like this is either a big deal or not a big deal until we have a fuller picture of it. So, did I do okay, Beards? Beards gave me the thumbs up. I didn't say anything bad. I didn't speak outside of the information that I have, but now you're aware of the story. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it'd be bad radio, but go to cleveland.com and read the article by Courtney Astafoli. And you can get a bunch more details, and it's a well-written, well-reported story with the information that we currently have. So go read that on cleveland.com, and we'll just have to see what happens. I think I can say this somewhat safely. With the information we currently have, it doesn't sound like a large event. It didn't seem like doesn't sound like it escalated to some incredibly problematic space, but again, we don't. A shove is a hard word in a legal sense. Because if you just, like,
it depends what kind of shove it is.
Right, that's
if
what I'm
thinking. If it's just like a, hey, you guys need to leave.
Right, is it a gentle push out the door?
Or is it a, I'm throwing you off the balcony shove?
Well, I think that would have made it to the police report.
But you see what I mean?
But yes.
There's a very large scale when it comes to the word shove.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm thinking right now. It's like, Beards, you're across the pane of glass from me, which is, always good for both of us, I think. I think it generally helps our working relationship to have a pane of glass between the two of us.
Yep.
Because at any given point, you can stop listening to me. I guess I can try to not listen to you, but I have to have my headphones most of the time. You can just sort of slide off those headphones and, you know,
Turn down the speakers in here,
and it's my job to have there be not dead air. So the glass is good for both of
us. Like, I could leave.
You have left before. Like, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be right back. Like, okay, man, fine. But if we were in the hallway and you made some bad dumb joke, and I did the thing, yes, and I did the thing where I can't actually imagine this happening because it's just very out of character. But if I did the thing where it's like. Fingertips on the shoulder, and then you, like, extend your fingers. That could be, like, a shove, you know? It's kind of like a little push. Or, you know, but if you came up and you were, like, charging at me with a baseball bat, and then I just did a full-on, like, offensive lineman shove and ended up like pancaking you. One of those is a God, your joke was bad, and one of those is criminal assault. No reports of baseball bats in the original story. I think we've lost the plot a little bit here.
Probably. Seems to happen a lot.
Yeah, but usually when it happens, it's in like the playground of sports, not in the less of a playground of police report.
I mean, it's all within the story. We're just taking it to extreme levels.
Yes, that's true.
Are you saying we shouldn't do that?
I do hesitate to say that that's a good move by us.
There have been worse moves.
There have been worse moves, certainly. Now, at this point, I just am really rooting for there not to be some horrible detail that we didn't know. And if there is some horrible detail that we didn't know, well, we didn't know it, which helps.
Not for podcast listeners, but
I'm
saying
now, I've told you every detail I know. It's in that Cleveland.com story and the Pro Football Talk story. If there ends up being some details that weren't out yet, then this would be a very uncomfortable segment. If it is just what we have, this still could be kind of uncomfortable because, again, usually whenever we plop a playground down on some topic that doesn't usually have a playground, usually we're doing it with, like, sports, games, and not police reports. And we're in a very fragile time, like, socially and politically as far as, like, assault goes. So I wanted to be more careful than I think we were. We did our best.
We were fine.
I think we were okay.
We could have gone farther.
Well, yeah.
I had material worked out to go farther, but I'm not going to do that.
No, plank you.
Did you say plank me?
I said, hey, plank you. no, I said thank you. Thank you for not taking this to the absolute extremes.
Oh, it wasn't the absolute extreme, but it was more extreme than we were at.
Well, I think we'd fine. You know what?
Like
we nailed it.
We were on like a little blue diamond ski course.
Sure, very Olympic.
I could have taken it to a double blue.
Yeah. That concludes our 2018 Olympics coverage here. Although on Sports Saturday, believe it or not, on Saturday, I was trying to talk about like KU and stuff, and they were lugeing on the TV in front of me, and I was so distracted because I didn't want to talk about KU anymore. I wanted to watch luge. It is fascinating. These winter sports are fascinating. They're bizarre, and I'm not sure if they're real things. Like, they're all very, like, I think we talked about this on Friday. Olympic sports are all generally variants of skiing or skating, pretty much, I think we decided.
Yep.
I mean, like, that's, like, or curling. You have three categories.
Well, that's even kind of skating.
You have three categories. You have skating games, skiing games,
which includes snowboarding,
right, and then curling. Is there anything that we're missing? Like, seriously, think about it.
I don't think
You know what? We'll go. Let's go. Let's go. Skating.
I mean, there's like bobsledding and that kind of stuff, but even
there are skates.
Yeah, but like even that's like skiing and snowboarding combined.
Okay, we have skating events and sliding events.
Sure.
Boom.
Actually, hold on. Let me pull up the list of Olympic. Winter Olympic sports.
No, because right, like the luge and the skeleton and stuff, or they're on like little blades going down ice. They're also sliding. Luge and skeleton are in the middle of the Venn diagram. All the Winter Olympics are contained either in sliding or skating. Oh, you know what, Beards? They have like indoor races, like foot races. Like someone ran like a 3 minute and 54 second mile or something. Just hold on. Can I get some music, please?
Yeah, hang on.
Can I get some music for trying to find the sport that doesn't involve ice or snow in the Winter Olympics, which pretty much feels like one of the defining characteristics you need? Thank you. Indoor running Olympics. Indoor track. Let's see here. We're getting close to a list of things. But I felt like...
I've got the schedule, I think.
Okay.
I'm trying to figure out. It's on the Olympic website, so I'm trying to figure out if this is the full schedule.
There is something about indoor running. In the future, I think I just figured out that we would be better off...
preparing this segment beforehand?
Well, no, because we didn't know we were going to get here. But we'd be better off with me just continuing on another thing while you look it up.
Okay.
In the future, something to think about.
Well, here's the very short list I've got so far.
Okay.
Alpine skiing.
Yep.
Biathlon, which is shooting a gun while skiing.
Okay.
Cross-country skiing, curling, figure skating, freestyle skiing, ice hockey, luge, Nordic combined, which looks... The symbol on this looks like skiing... short track speed skating, skeleton, ski jumping, snowboarding, speed skating.
What am I thinking of then? Hold on. Okay, I found... Oh, you know what? This might not have been an Olympic event. Hold on. Okay, here we go. I figured it out. So somebody ran a 3 minute and 49 second mile indoors, which is insane.
Yes,
but this was not an Olympic event. This was just a running thing. So there we go. This was in a race at Boston University, apparently. I don't know. I don't know how far I could get in 3 minutes and 49 seconds, but I'm guessing that it would be embarrassing.
I've run a 6-minute mile before.
Yeah.
But that was like once on a treadmill.
And that's 2 minutes slower than this guy. That is wild to me. All right, can I talk about Justin Houston?
Oh, go for it.
Somebody on Twitter made me aware of this. I'm sorry that I didn't write down the fact that it was helped. Oh, man, this is bad. This is something I should have prepared better, because someone sent me this, and I was like, oh, yep, we'll talk about that, and then I didn't put his name on the rundown, and I wanted to say thank you to the person who made me aware of this. Gosh dang it. Beards, can I get some music for... Ah, got it. It's from Jamie. Is that JJ... He's at JJackson_Chiefs on Twitter. Thank you, Jamie. David said, can you talk about the USA Today piece on Justin Houston being the number one cut target on today's Almost Entirely Meat show? I want to hear some opinions. Also, now, in case you've missed it, this is Almost Entirely Meats. Please tweet Arby's and tell them to sponsor the show. Tag me and tag Arby's, or retweet the graphic that I have recently retweeted from Steve Fitzpatrick, where he has an alternate version of this show's logo for Almost Entirely Meats.
And if we don't hear back from them in how long?
From Arby's?
Yeah.
I don't know. What's the rest of your clause?
Then we move on to Slim Chicken.
Yes. End of the week?
Sure.
All right, Arby's, the countdown's here. We have an ultimatum laid down. Thank you, Jamie. This is what you need to know about this story. For the Win, which is a USA Today blog, basically, they had an article entitled 25 NFL Stars Who Could Be Cut During the 2018 Offseason. Derek Johnson was on there somewhere, but number one on this list was Justin Houston. This is the following logic from this article, and it's just a blog post, but listen. Houston has struggled to stay on the field, and his production has slipped as a result. With the Chiefs looking to get younger on defense, Houston will have a hard time sticking around. He can still be a Pro Bowl level player if he can stay healthy. You don't really need me to tell you that that's stupid, right? Like, we're good on that. Like, you get it, I think, right? I'm guessing. It's dumb. First of all, the idea that Justin Houston's production has slipped is silly. He had a catastrophic injury that was a problem. But he was very good last year. And he was not held back by his injury, and he seemed to improve as the year went on. This is fully explained by the likes of Seth Kaiser. And Houston does have a massive $20.6 million cap hit this year, but only $8 million of that could be saved by cutting him. There would be $12.7 million in dead cap money to Justin Houston this year. If that doesn't mean anything to you, I'll try to explain it a different way. If the Chiefs cut Justin Houston this year, who is scheduled to make almost $21 million, if they released him, they would still have to pay him $12.7 million, regardless of what else he does with his time. He could go play with anybody else in football. He could go play for the Broncos, and the Chiefs would still be paying him $13 million. It would save $8 million, but that is not a move that the Chiefs are going to make this year. They're just not going to do it. That is a bad, bad ratio. And this isn't to say that Justin Houston's contract is awesome right now, but it's fine. And I expect him to have a very nice season next year. They're not going to cut him for that number. Now, after this season, maybe there's a conversation to be had. In 2019, he'd cost $7 million in dead cap money. They'd still have to pay him $7 million to free up $15 million. The original cap hit for that year is $21 million. In 2020, he could be cut to free up $17.5 million of his $19 million cap hit. That is probably not, you're not going to see that year, not structured that way. But this year, this is not going to happen. His injury, his health seems to be improving. You can call him aging, but especially, and I haven't even mentioned the fact that the Chiefs need pass rushers more than anything else on this team right now. Like, seriously. Probably getting another year at D-Ford, depending on his injury status. Holly's going to be gone. Tano Passanio, think he's ready? Certainly not ready to be the number one or number two guy on the team. With either the number one guy or the number two guy with D Ford is the number one, not going to happen. Justin Houston's job is as safe as anybody's this year. I would be stunned if the Chiefs released him, which, you know, look, this is, I'll tell you this. Ready? You want this with a good qualifier? Ugh, I forgot to hang up my grumpy cat. I did bring the grumpy cat. I have it. I just forgot. I saw Beards' wiener dog on his board. Over there, and I remember that I forgot. Sorry, I got some. Need to take a drink really quick. This show is so dumb. Such a stupid show.
What tipped you off there?
Myself.
The grumpy cat or the wiener dog?
It was the second one. It was Dick Justice, which is the name of the wiener dog. No, the grumpy cat is just perfect. The grumpy cat's very on brand, I feel like. I mean, and so is what we just did with that poor wiener dog. Beards and I just both went to the same pose right there, which was to both do that thing where you pinch the sides of your nose, the top of your nose, as if it's going to help, like, relieve pressure or something. Like you're squeezing those inflatable beach balls or whatever. Yeah, you blow them up and then you pinch the blowhole or whatever, and the air comes out. That's how I feel like we're both just trying to decompress just then.
I gotta say, Dick Justice has a very confused look on his face.
Can I see?
It's perpetual at this point.
His eyes are just a little bit too close to each other. Like, the pupils are just pointing at each other a little too closely.
A little too cross-eyed there, buddy.
Oh, it's awesome. I love him. I can't say what I want to say. Not because it's terribly dirty. It's not. And not because it's terribly crude. It's not. But I just can't let you have the audio clip that of what I would say for the rest of time. I just can't.
Damn it!
I'm too aware of what you would do with
it. It would be a promo forever?
Oh, I didn't even think about being a promo.
All right, come on.
No, I got it.
Don't leave us hanging.
No, you got some good stuff already.
Tell me during the break, then.
Okay, fine. Justin Houston's not going to get cut. Okay. That's all. And I don't expect every random blogger to have a really good understanding of that, but it's pretty lazy. If that's to be your number one candidate on this list, like, the Chiefs need pass rushers desperately. And Justin Houston's a very good one still, and he's not a particularly cuttable asset right now. It's dumb. like this show. Except for this show, it's a very cuttable asset. The cap hit for this show is minimal.
Almost at the exact minimum that you could have.
We are a show of undrafted free agents. I actually think I considered that as a show title at one point, by the way. Undrafted free agents.
We're on two-way contracts.
See, that 2 minutes. Undrafted free agents was a perfectly good way to describe this show. And you had to jump in here with some NBA bull bleep. Don't stroke your beard as if you've accomplished something. Don't touch your beard, beards. Oh, God. Oh, God. I can't unsee that. He just started scrubbing his face in a way that was unbelievably uncomfortable. So visually displeasing.
Just like the show.
I said 2 minutes. That is a violation. I wouldn't say this show's always visually displeasing. We have us. I have a very exciting pink jacket. We have just stuffed animals all over our set. By set, I just mean in the studio. I would say this is a pretty visually interesting show, all things considered. And all things considered, considering that, like, this studio is the blandest room that's ever been formed. Although the TVs are kind of working again. So
except for the water stain on the back wall there.
Yeah, it is kind of, there's an artistry to it. You talked again. That was it. That was 2 minutes. You don't respect the rules. You know what? How long is the next commercial break going to be? Beards just held up four fingers. That's okay. Fine. It's a 4 minute penalty for you. 4 minutes and 15 seconds. Starting now.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
The Patriots have been to the Super Bowl 5 times in 15 years. And Donald Trump is the only one to get a ring from the Patriots.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Seems redundant because Putin already has one.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Oh, God. I take great solace in the fact that even if no one else laughs anything that we do on this show, that at least I will. Every time that one gets me. Because it's like that one and I can't remember. There's another one where it's just like, it was the range weapons.
The Mahomie range weapons?
That one. And yeah, what do Alex Smith's people have? And
do they have torches or pitchforks? And then right. You go, oh, no, actually they have ranged weapons.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good one.
Those two always get me. Because I remember in the moment that those I didn't have prepared funny things to say there. Those just happened in a way that I'm really glad we have in a time capsule forever.
I think I ended up using that one right there just because of, you know, Russia in the Olympics isn't actually Russia.
Sure, yeah, why not bring that up in the conversation. Yeah, what is Russia? Do we have, like, the sound of a truck backing up before I...
Oh, let's see.
I got a DM today. I'm not going to say who it was. I don't know if they... Whatever. But I got a DM from somebody today. It was like, you should stay apolitical. You'd keep more followers that way. You retweet way too much ignorant lefty bleep. And I was just... I responded... super chilly. And then they didn't respond. That's fine. But, like... That dude was able to DM me about whatever it was that he took issue with because my DMs are open for stuff like that. Like, that's fine, man. You don't have to agree with everything I say. It's whatever. Also, I have not retweeted anything very political for a good while because I am politically exhausted. Like, I pretty much, whenever the first round of government shutdown stuff happened, I was just like, there's going to be a lot of like paperwork here in a way that is really hard for me to keep up with. So I think I've been pretty chill, my dude. But just a little quick jab. Putin jokes will always make me laugh. Sorry. Not sorry. I'm not sorry. I take it back. I'm not sorry. How do we get here? Oh, yeah. I think I'm funny. Lane Johnson said something interesting this week, and I've seen it. I saw them talking about it on the Will Cain show, which means we missed our window to talk about it. Once Will Cain has spent 30 minutes on it, it's dead. But I wanted to just touch on it. Lane Johnson, offensive lineman for the Eagles, talked about the difference between the Patriots and the Eagles. And he said, "I'd rather have fun and win one Super Bowl than be miserable and win five." And then there's a longer quote here. He said, "I just think the Patriot way is a fear-based organization. Obviously, do they win? Hell yes, they win. They've won for a long time. Do I think people enjoy and can say I've had a lot of fun playing there? No, I don't. That's just the God's honest truth. They're successful when they go... but when they go to interviews, they act like bleeping robots. Hey, stop being a bleephead. We can be cordial for a little bit. You only get to do this job one time. Let's have fun while we're doing it. Not to be reckless, but I'd much rather have fun and win a Super Bowl than be miserable and win five Super Bowls. But hey, it is what it is." I think that's really interesting, and it's really refreshing to hear a professional athlete say that. And I was really interested in seeing how people responded to that. A bunch of people got into my mentions about it, not like angrily, just like talking about it. I haven't seen much of the national response. I haven't listened to any national radio, anything today. But sports, which are games, have become super duper serious. And, you know, winning's always supposed to be the most important thing within the sports experience all throughout it. And I like that perspective, but I'm guessing that I'm probably in the minority there. And somebody responded with the very open-ended question of like, well, would you rather... They used Marconi's, which I thought was hilarious because, I mean, it's just like, it's very funny to me. That's what came up. Lincoln tweeted me and said, "Would you rather win one Marconi unexpectedly or five because you were determined to do it out of a philosophy of sustained excellence for yourself and your listeners? Let's ask Lane about this. If the Eagles win another as the favored team, you might be more proud and happy." So, let's go ahead. Like, it's not a perfect translation, but I think this can kind of be... There might need to be a drinking game for every time I mention Le Batard on this show. I don't know. I don't know what the punishment is. I'm open to suggestions. But one of the reasons that I think the Le Batard show is so good, and I enjoy listening to it so much, is because the philosophy there is we're going to have fun above anything else. For me personally, I would rather be doing a show with that as the sort of the spirit of the core of it, than doing the Will Cain show, or Mike and Mike, or whatever. Mike and Mike was great. I have tons of respect for Mike and Mike. They would do a bunch of big interviews, and they obviously were a behemoth in sports radio. Probably the biggest sports radio show ever? Mike and the Mad Dog was huge, I know, I don't know. I might be speaking out of turn there. But in my lifetime, it was, for sure. I have huge respect for that way of going about it, but also... Those two guys didn't talk to each other. Like, at the end, they split. At the end, they said they weren't talking to each other off mic. Like, not even during in breaks, much less before the show or after the show or anything. And I think I would be miserable trying to do a show like that. I don't want to do, you know, four interviews a day and all of that. I'm just not. I mean, obviously, if you're listening to the show, you understand that. And now I know that there are a lot of imperfections here, because I'm not going to assume that the Patriots are all miserable. They all do sound like bleeping robots in their interviews, like Lane Johnson said. But I've heard plenty of expatriates. It's a fun little joke. Plenty of former Patriots talking about how Bill what beards
same joke.
What?
Expatriates versus former Patriots.
But expatriate is a thing, though.
Okay, whatever.
You can...
Continue.
Okay. But I've heard former Patriots talk about how Belichick actually has a sense of humor, and they enjoy playing and everything, so that's fine. I don't actually care to do the specifics of the Eagles versus the Patriots, but I think it's really interesting to be able to have a conversation about the differences in... And having less success but more fun, or less fun and more success. And this isn't a sports psychology show. I'm like, I don't really want to dig in or tell you how to live your life or whatever. But I know that the sports that we care about are very serious because you've got tons of money on one end of the spectrum and CTE on the other. Like, I understand that it's a job and that it's serious, that there are consequences and huge profits. But I think it's interesting at the core to hear a guy say, I'd rather have less success on the field and have more fun while doing it. And somebody said, you know, hey, it's harder to answer, would you rather have no success, no championships, but more fun, or be miserable and win some? I don't know. It depends on your mindset. But I don't know. I think it's interesting. Like, so Tyler said to me, winning isn't everything. Sports are just entertainment. If you make it more than that, you'll be sad a lot. And that is true. But also, a huge part of the reason that, like, this show exists is because people take their sports very seriously. Now, you know, not this show specifically, but the reason that sports radio exists the way it does is because people take their sports very, very seriously. And so we just did some, like, serious Justin... Here's the reason that Justin Houston won't be cut. We're not talking that conversation just to have the most fun possible. Like, that's because you listening want to learn about that, and you want to be able to have an informed opinion. And if you're the Chiefs, you're doing that because you want to have the best chance to win. What gives you the best chance to win? Is it to cut Justin Houston and to get that cap space to move it elsewhere, or do you want to keep him on the team? That's about winning. If you wanted to build the most fun NFL team, you'd be doing it very differently than by building the most successful NFL team. I think there's at least a middle ground. It was Britt, by the way, who said, real arguments would rather win none but have fun, or win one but be miserable. I think there has to be a middle ground. And ideally the middle ground is acknowledging that sports at their core are it's an entertainment process. Like, I don't know. You could do this for acting if you want. Like, you know, I don't know if Daniel Day-Lewis has a ton of fun acting. He's got a bunch of Oscars and is widely considered to be one of the greatest actors of this generation. I don't know if he's having fun doing that. It seems like James Franco, or let's go Seth Rogen, because I think James Franco's getting some awards for the Disaster Artist performance. But it seems like Seth Rogen is having a pretty good time making movies with his friends. If Seth Rogen wins an Oscar, I would be stunned. Whose career would you rather have? Would you rather be Daniel Day-Lewis or Seth Rogen? I would rather be Seth Rogen. I like winning, and I like competitions, and I like awards. I would love to win an award of some sort. But I think I'd rather have less awards and more fun. Again, there are lots of holes in this. You can poke through however you want. Movies and acting is an art, and sports are a competition. There are definitely differences in this way, in this art, and this game.
There are competitions in movies and stuff, though.
Well, right. I'm saying award. You can win awards. You can win Oscars for stuff.
Even box office stuff.
Sure. And so, in somewhere there, it's money also at the core.
All these actors gather around, like, oh, my movie made $57 million at the box office.
Right.
And then, let's see, Harrison Ford walks in holding a Force Awakens poster.
Right.
And like, hi, guys.
Right.
I'm here.
And would you rather be Daniel Day-Lewis talking about Lincoln or Seth Rogen talking about This Is the End? I've seen both of those movies. I had much more fun watching one of them. I honestly thought Lincoln wasn't great, but whatever. And I'm not just like, oh, I'm a frat boy who loves movies about the apocalypse and I hate history. I was excited about Lincoln, and it just wasn't very good. Well, I can't say it wasn't very good. I found it unbelievably slow moving in a way that I didn't appreciate. Beards is nodding his head, which makes me feel good because
I haven't even seen it,
boy.
But I can totally understand that.
Okay, yeah. I feel like they could have done that movie and told that story more interestingly than they did. Daniel Lewis was great.
Sure.
I just was bored.
About an American president.
But
it's probably going to be slow.
But I watched the John Adams HBO series and didn't have that feeling at all. I also have a story in relation to the link to seeing Lincoln. And I can't tell it.
I didn't see Lincoln, but I did see Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter.
Did you really?
I did.
That's awesome.
It wasn't awful.
That's awesome.
It wasn't good.
I'm at a point right now in my life where I think I would enjoy Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter. I don't think it would be good, but I feel like it would be also be kind of awesome.
That's why we went and saw it.
Yeah, no, that's pretty cool. All right, Beard said we need to take a break. And every once in a blue moon, I have to do what Beard suggests just so he feels like he hasn't completely lost control of the runaway train, even though in his heart of hearts, he knows very well that he has.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Also, for what it's worth, if we see another 9-point performance here, I'm not going to be able to hold back my Patrick Mahomes. The angry mob is coming. They are going to destroy you.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Do they have torches and pitchforks, or what do they have instead?
They actually, unlike Alex Smith's fan base, they have range weapons, so they can attack you from a distance.
Solid joke.
Yeah, no kidding.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Deeply, deeply proud of myself for that still, to this day, every time. There was a story that came across my Twitter feed that I knew we had to mention on today's show. Ex-MLB pitcher Esteban Loaiza. Loaiza? Esteban. We'll stick with Esteban. Was arrested with more than 44 pounds of cocaine and heroin. He remains in jail in San Diego. I had a couple takeaways from this.
It's a lot of cocaine.
Well, that was my first takeaway.
So did your delivery get stolen then?
No, my takeaway was that this guy getting arrested with 44 pounds of cocaine made me feel like my 22 pounds of cocaine isn't that much.
Not comparatively.
No.
No.
I got 50% of the amount of cocaine that this dude has. That's nothing.
And he's got heroin, too.
Yeah, I don't have any heroin. I'm not believing with heroin. Are you kidding me?
That's also true.
I've had this conversation. We might have had this conversation on this show. But I've had this conversation with friends also, like, because we're playing pretty... playing pretty fast and loose with the rules on like drugs and alcohol and everything, just like as a like, culture. Like, alcohol kills more people than weed. Why is one good and one bad? But I've figured out at the very least there's a point to this.
Oh,
that,
good.
That nothing, there is literally like no appeal to anything that you shoot into your veins. That is horrifying to me. Like, I would just expect to die. So I was like, hey, you literally, you have to shoot this heroin or we're going to blow your brains out. I was like, well, just do it. Like, I don't, rather just die that way than die with a heroin needle in my arm. Because I'm going to mess it up or it's just going to melt me. I don't want it. I'm not afraid of needles, but it's not, I don't get it. I kind of understand, by the way, what? Just say it.
Just the show. I'm sorry, first-time listeners.
We don't have any of those. We have, like, a dozen, like...
We have one-time listeners.
That's pretty funny. Now, we have, like, a dozen, like loyal... I don't want to say soldiers. They're much higher rank than soldiers in my mind. I'll figure that out. Anyway.
I mean, Mahomes is the obvious one.
That's true, I guess. We have like a dozen Mahomes. And then a bunch of people who just like get lost and download the podcast every day.
And then occasionally we have like 30 new people talking about couches.
Just out of bleeping nowhere.
Yep.
Yeah.
Those are those casual fans.
Right. By the way. This conversation we just had is why I would rather, is why I like what Lane Johnson said. I wasn't totally done with that conversation, but it just sort of took off, and that's okay. Like, I'd rather be able to have this. I'd like to be able to say the following phrase.
Sure.
I'm not interested in doing drugs that involve injecting them into my body.
Sure, we'll take our participation awards.
Sure, yeah, I would just...
We should actually get some of those.
We should, that'd be pretty funny.
I have some from karate when I did that.
We need to get a plaque engraved that says, like, fourth best radio host in Kansas City and put it right here on the console.
The question is, do I still have those?
Oh, I've got, I get a medal or something. We get, I have a friend that, I don't know if he still works there, I had a friend that works at a place that does, like, trophy engraving and stuff.
Uh-huh.
I can hit him up and see what that would look like, because that would be hilarious to get a very small We're Number 4 trophy to put into the studio. Although, I'm guessing it would get stolen because I have not found that Blake Bortles card again, and I have my suspicions.
Rudy.
I did ask him about it. He didn't say anything.
Rudy, I know you're watching, or at least you were.
Yeah, well, it's not very helpful if he just was listening. Anyway, see how much... Like, I just... I don't know what kind of professional success is worth having a miserable work experience. Like, I mean, that's a very large scale, and that does sort of eventually sort of transcend outside of sports.
Unless it's like a one-year hell for $50 million.
Sure. Yeah. But, like, as a sustained experience, like, I'm gonna play for the Patriots for... I'm gonna have, like, a six-year deal with the Patriots. And if I don't know that the Patriots are actually miserable. I mean, you can make it the Browns if you want to do it about money. I don't want to spend 6 years with the Browns for money. I don't want to spend 6 years with the Patriots. I can win, but I'm going to be miserable. I don't know. I get wanting to have fun. Like, it's one reason that I thought Durant going to Golden State. I'm doing the NBA thing, so you're safe, Beards. Durant going to Golden State made sense to me because he's going to have an easier time playing the sport with more success and more fun. Like, what? Isn't that what you want from your athletes? No, you want him to win in his own term. Whatever. Okay. But I get it. Like, I'm gonna try to never berate someone for trying to have a more fun job. I think it makes sense. Again, if you want to just, you know, do a not fun job because it pays better, I get it. I'll be there soon. No, I thought what Lane Johnson said was interesting. I was glad that he was honest about it. I thought that was kind of cool. I've several things, like half-made thoughts that I can't say in the next 4 seconds. So, whoopsie-doop, end of the hour.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.